Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we met the weird John the Baptist, okay? He was the son of a priestly family, but instead of being in the temple or in Jerusalem, he was out in the wilderness wearing weird clothes, eating a weird diet. But John was also encouraging God's people to repent. And as strange as all of that was, Mark, the gospel writer, was also telling us that all of Jerusalem and all of the Judean countryside were flocking down to the river to hear John's message. He may have been weird, but he was effective. And John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus. So today we hear from St. John's gospel, and we are once again introduced to John the Baptist again. Now, St. John does not talk to us about how he was dressed or what his diet was. Instead, St. John tells us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. In this gospel reading, it is important for us to see and to hear that John the Baptist is sent by God, that John the Baptist is part of the plan. John the Baptist may not have been the light, but he was sent to prepare us all for that light. From St. Mark, we heard that John the Baptist was the voice of one in the wilderness. But in St. John's gospel this morning, we hear that claim from John himself. As John begins answering all of the questions and expectations that were coming to him. You see, that's what St. John's introduction to John the Baptist is really all about. It's about expectations and it's about questions. As the leaders of the Jewish people sent out priests and Levites and Pharisees, and they all come and they begin to ask John questions. They ask him, "Who are you?" You see, all of God's people have been waiting for the Messiah, the chosen one of God, who is going to lead all of God's people into righteousness. Now, many of the people who came to talk to John the Baptist, many of those folks who were asking this question, knew him from when he was growing up. They had stories. They knew his family. They were sitting by him in third grade or wherever it was. So they knew partially who John the Baptist was. But what they really wanted to know is, okay, John, are you the Messiah? There were people who were coming to seek him out. There were people who were listening to his message. His message itself was changing lives. So these people want to know. And so John the Baptist tells them, "I'm not the Messiah." Now, I'm sure that some folks in that group breathed a sigh of relief. Whew. John the Baptist wasn't going to sort of join the Messiah of the Month Club. But there were others who didn't want to believe that he was not Messiah. John seemed to fit the bill. And then think about it. If John the Baptist was the Messiah, then the Messiah was going to come in their lifetime. That's kind of exciting. And so those who wanted John to be the Messiah were disappointed. But they still had a couple of extra questions. And so they asked him, "Okay, are you Elijah come back?" You see, there was another Old Testament prophecy that claimed that Elijah would return before the Messiah came. So if John isn't the Messiah, disappointing as that can be to some people, maybe, just maybe, he's Elijah. And John again says, no. John's sitting there destroying expectations left and right, and some still don't want to believe that. And so they ask then, "Are you the prophet?" And again, John says, no. John the Baptist may have wanted to attract a crowd to himself, but he wasn't attracting that crowd to make claims for himself. So when the leaders ask him, "Who then are you? Who then do you say that you are?" John answers. John the Baptist tells them and anyone else who is listening that he was the voice crying out in the wilderness. He was the voice preparing the way for the Messiah, for the one greater than he who is yet to come. John the Baptist began to explain to all that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. that he was there in the wilderness to point to the coming one. John was there to prepare for the true Messiah, who would bring good news to the oppressed, who would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and release prisoners. John was pointing to the one who brings comfort to all who mourn, which means then to all of us. John told them that into a world filled with the oppressed and brokenhearted, filled with mourners and captives, God's good news was coming. When you connect those messages we heard from Isaiah today with John's own message of repentance, those same leaders then wanted to know from John something else. Those who had wanted him to be Messiah or at least claim, now wanted John to sort of sit down in the corner and be quiet. Because if John the Baptist isn't the Messiah, their question then was, then why is it that you're baptizing? Why are you proclaiming repentance, huh? Why are you doing all of this and telling people that the Messiah is coming to bring comfort and peace? Most of the people waiting for that Messiah wanted a Messiah with a sword to kick Rome out. Others wanted a fire and brimstone Messiah who would revitalize life in the temple. John's images were none of those things. John tells them all that his baptism with water was a commemoration of their decision to change their way of living. John went on to say that he was unworthy to know the coming one, and that coming one, his baptism, would mark God's choice. It would mark our being named and claimed by God, and the Messiah's baptism would change lives for real. The leaders, the Levites, the Pharisees, most of them continued not to believe John the Baptist. In our gospel this morning, we hear that John the Baptist is sent by God to testify to the light, and that our lives right here, right now, are changed. But the truth is also that our lives right here and right now, we too have been sent by God to proclaim the good news and to point to Jesus. Like John the Baptist, we are not the light. But we get to testify to that light, and we get to shine with Christ's borrowed light as we are able. We who are oppressed by the world around us, we know the good news of Jesus in our lives. It's why we're here. We who are brokenhearted understand that Jesus binds us up and sets us on a path to new life. When we are captive to the temptations of the world around us and imprisoned by our sin, Jesus comes with liberty and release. When the world around us makes us mourn, Jesus stands by us with comfort. We know these things. We celebrate these things. I hope that you have all felt these truths in the moments of darkness and grief in your own lives, because these truths are what we get to point to. It is the love of God in Jesus Christ that we live and that we reveal. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even John the Baptist. I'm Steve the pastor, or Steve the husband, or Steve the father, or brother. And I have a mission to point to Jesus. You all have that same mission. We who have been loved by God get to share that love with as many people as we possibly can, wherever it is that we can. It's what we get to do. Whether it is Advent and Christmas, or a cold day in February, or a steamy hot day in August, or one of those just perfect days in October, we get to bring the love of God with us wherever we go. Some may believe us when we tell them or show them what God's love is really like. Others may never believe us. Some may want us to think that we're more than we are, and others are going to get angry when we say that it is Jesus who loves us all. regardless of the reactions of other people. We are called to love as we are able, to point to Jesus, and to live as children of God. All of those things, all of those possibilities, all of that strength is a tremendous gift to us, to the world, and to our neighbors. So let's bring that gift to all around us. Amen.